Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you, Diana and Jim and Mark and others serving. As we were singing the songs and paying attention to the words, I couldn't help but notice, as so often happens, the lyrics of the songs tie in with the prayers and the scriptures being shared. Jesus never fails, and because of that, we are led in triumph always. And then we were just singing about what Jim was challenging us with. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth again. And this morning, as we prepare our hearts for communion, a time of confession and a time of thanksgiving, may the scriptures that we look at remind us of how much God has given and given and given and given again to us. And the Christ who calls us to communion, who commanded, "This do in remembrance of me," what he has done for us, so that in Christ we are always led in triumph. Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last." I am the author and the finisher of faith. I am the creator and the sustainer of all things. And all authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. And all judgment has been entrusted to me. When you have Jesus, you win and you cannot lose. We're going to be reminded again today, some from the New Testament, some from the Old, of what the Lord has done for us. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. And my sin over a lifetime is pretty great. As I have been preparing for the memorial service for Bob Henshaw this afternoon, I was struck by one of the things that he wrote, and I'll be having the privilege of reading some things this afternoon as we celebrate his life with the Henshaw family. I'll be reading some things that he wrote. And one of the things that he wrote is, "I've sure made some mistakes," he said, in his 92 years. And he said, "I've sure done some things that I wish I could do over again." And he said, "I sure wish that I could take back some of the things I've said and say them over again." I appreciate the humility and honesty of this man writing this before he went to heaven. But he had the hope of Christ and the confidence of Christ, despite our human failure that we all are aware of. And we come to the verses today that we look at, and we're reminded that even though we'd like to go back like Bob and maybe do some things different and say some things different and be a little different, because of Jesus and who he is and what he's done in Christ through faith in him by his grace, we're going to be all right. We're going to win. We want to ask and answer the question again today that when we believe in Jesus as our personal Savior, what does he say that he does with our sin problem, so that we can go to his perfect heaven? And it's amazing what the Lord says he does with our sin. I want you to join me in Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. And we're going to find that Paul not only says this in Romans, but David said it first in Psalm 32. And when we admit our sin and we ask Jesus to forgive us and to save us, God has a lot to say in his word about what he does with our sin. So that we can be his children and committed to him, as Brother Jim was talking about at scripture reading time. First thing God does with our sin when we ask him to is he forgives it. "Blessed are they whose transgressions, iniquities, sins are forgiven." Paul quoting David from the Psalms. "Blessed, happy, fortunate are those whose sins are forgiven." Colossians 1:14 says, "In Christ we have the forgiveness of our sins." Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all my sins, takes away all my iniquities." When we ask the Lord, he is faithful to forgive us. God forgives our sin. We have a hard time forgiving, but it's the whole reason Jesus came, was to forgive us. God is good at forgiving. We go on and we see at the end of Romans 4:7 that God also not only forgives our sins, he covers them. "Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, not to be brought up anymore." Completely covered. God covers over our sins when he forgives them. Verse 8, "Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him, never impute against him. That's remarkable. I am here today as a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus, and the Lord tells me, because I have admitted my sin and accepted him as my Savior, and as I walk with him and talk with him, and he brings to mind things that are wrong in my life, and I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cover it and to not count it against me. That is so divine. That is so not human. That is so splendid. The Lord says to me, as his child who has come to him in faith, believing that he will forgive me, he will cover my sin, and he will not hold it against me. Now, when people hurt me, fail me, sin against me, if you will, it is hard for me not to hold it against them. And Lord, free us from the grudges that we hold on to against people who have harmed us or hurt us. But God isn't like us. My ways are higher than your ways, God says. In fact, he invites us to be conformed to the image of Christ and to be like him by the power of his Holy Spirit within us, rather than to stay like we are. It is not natural for me, nor is it normal for the human race, to not count against people what they've done against us. It's revolutionary. When Jesus taught us in the prayer to pray, Father, forgive my debts as I forgive my debtors. Father, forgive my transgressions as I forgive those who transgress against me. Father, forgive my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Father, forgive my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. It's not normal or natural for me to be able to do that. But God tells us in his word, when he forgives us, he covers our sins. It's covered. And he doesn't count them against us any longer. That's wonderful. We have a lot to celebrate at communion time. Salvation, forgiveness. Psalm 19:12, don't turn there. The Lord cleanses me from hidden and secret faults. God not only forgives my sin, covers my sin, won't count my sin against me. When he forgives me, he also cleanses me from sin. Psalm 19:12 and 1 John 1:9 say the same thing in this. 1 John 1:9 that we love to quote, and we quote it a lot and we need it a lot. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess the sins we know about, he cleanses us from even those we don't know about. It's the same thing Psalm 19:12 says when it says, the Lord cleanses me from hidden or secret faults. God has forgiven Kurt Zachary for things I don't even know I did that offended the Lord. God has forgiven me for things that Kurt Zachary has said and done that I can't even remember and didn't realize what it did to God or to other people. He has forgiven me for sins of commission and omission, the things I've failed to do when I should have. When I confess my sins that I do know about, that the Holy Spirit brings to my conscience and I say, yeah, I was out of line there, Lord, forgive me. 1 John 1:9 says he cleanses me from all my unrighteousness when I ask for forgiveness for the things I know that were wrong. And again, Psalm 19:12, because the Bible is one book from God, says the Lord cleanses me from my secret faults and from my hidden faults. I can sometimes hide my faults from you. God will forgive me for those because he knows about them. Sometimes my faults are even hidden from me, and God forgives me. He forgives me, he covers, he won't hold them against me, and he cleanses me. 1 John 1:9, Psalm 19:12. Hebrews tells us that the holy angels, which are powerful creatures in God's creation, the holy angels, Hebrews tells us, are amazed and are awed at salvation for a fallen human race. When the angels see sinners come to faith in Christ, and in Christ they become children of God, and Jesus is preparing a place in heaven for us, Hebrews says the angels are astounded that sinners such as us can be a part of the kingdom of God. And the angels, astounded at the glory and the greatness of God's salvation plan, that God himself would die for sinners in their place, take our sin, overcome it, and give us his righteousness, so that we're cleansed. Without the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no cleansing of our sin. But he shed his blood, and we remember that at communion. The angels are astounded that somebody like me can go to heaven. We're talking about a spirit world that's as real as a material world. And the angels are amazed at how sinful human beings can get saved and have the Holy Spirit of Christ and God inside them and can go to heaven. Bob Henshaw says he'd like to do some things different in his life, and that yet the angels of God witnessed his promotion to glory into the presence of Christ this last Wednesday night, because Bob Henshaw had confessed Christ as his Savior. So God forgives sin, he covers sin, he won't hold it against us, and he cleanses us of our sin. The Bible also says in Isaiah, let's give a little time to the Old Testament. What do you know? I flip back to Isaiah, it automatically goes to Proverbs. Isaiah chapter 1. Jim is right, we did 15 Sunday mornings in Proverbs, and guess what? There's more to Proverbs than those 15 Sunday mornings. So you do like Jim's doing. You read it on your own. You'll find there's more in there. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. I'll bet you some of you have this memorized. At least you recognize it. The God of glory, the God of heaven, the God of the universe says to his creation, man made in his image, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. We have intellect, emotions, and will because God created us in his image, and God has intellect, emotions, and will. God says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are dark like scarlet, though your sins are an ugly stain, they shall be as white as snow. God washes sin whiter than snow. My house is a light silvery, it almost looks a little bit blue where it's not brick, and it's trimmed in white. And the white trim on my house looks white until we have a good, fresh, beautiful snow. And against the whiteness of that fresh fallen snow in my yard, the white trim on my house looks like it needs to be repainted. It doesn't look so white anymore. I've owned white cars in the past. I like white cars. I don't have one right now. But when fresh, white, new-fallen snow falls on and all around my white cars, I was always amazed. I'd look at my white Vans or my white car, and I would think, my car's not so white after all. When the Lord says, come now, let us reason together, this is what I'm going to do for you. My grace is greater than all of your sin. I'm going to wash your sins, not just as white as snow, I'm going to wash them whiter than snow. New fallen snow is so brilliantly, beautifully white. And when the sun reflects off of it, new fallen fresh snow just glistens and glimmers, sparkling clean and white. God says, I'm going to take your sin. It's going to be whiter than snow. Isaiah 38:17. By the way, heaven is clearly described in Scripture as a bright, light place. No darkness there at all. Pure white. Pure clean. Isaiah 38, verse 17. God says your sin will not only be forgiven and covered, not only not counted against you and cleansed, I will take your sins and wash them whiter than snow, and I will also do this, Isaiah 38:17. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. God takes our sin and puts it behind his back. He doesn't look at it. He moves on forward, if you will. It's behind. It's past. I wish I could do that. God says, your sins are history. I've handled it. It's behind my back. I'm not looking at it. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not acting on it. My relationship with you moves forward. I'm taking you with me, my child, and I'll walk with you mountaintops, even through the valley of the shadow of death. You fear no evil because all your sins are behind me. We're moving on. Beautiful picture. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, says the Lord, am he who blots out your transgressions. I do it for my own sake. I wipe them out. I do it for my own sake. God sent Jesus, John 3:16, at Christmas time. We celebrate it. Jesus did all that he did and suffered all that he did and overcame all that he did and went back to the right hand of the Father in heaven and said, all authority is mine everywhere, all the time. And when a sinner comes to him and says, I'm sorry, it's not just for us sinners' sake that he forgives us. God says, I, even I, am he who wipes out your transgressions, blots out your sins, and I do it for my own sake. My goodness, I sent my only begotten Son, the second person of the triune God, to do all that he did. Jesus forgives us not only for our sake, for his sake. Look at all that he went through to buy us back, to redeem us, to forgive us. It's for my good sake that I get forgiven, but it's also for the glory of Christ and the glory of God. He is so wonderfully gracious and forgiving. He forgives us for his sake, not just ours. And then the last half of the verse, as if that wasn't enough. And he remembers our sins no more. I remember some of my sins from my childhood and my teen years. And I remember my sins through my adult life. But God, who knows all things at all times, in his relationship with me, he is omniscient, and he can will to and choose to and says he does this, remembers my sins no more. They have no effect on my relationship with God. God says, I choose to not remember your sins. So when I go to the Lord in prayer, I may be remembering my sins and I say, Lord, I'm sorry for them. And soon as I do, the Lord says, let's move on. I don't remember it anymore. Amen. That's the dynamic of eternal life. That's the dynamic of eternal life that begins now, a walk with God that's already started. God says, I choose not to remember your sins. They don't affect our relationship. Wow. Job 31, Hebrews 8, both say the same thing. I will remember their sins no more. I will remember their sins no more. Isaiah 44, 22. When we celebrate communion, we are celebrating forgiveness. We are celebrating all these things God says he does with our sin. We are celebrating the hope of Scripture, that God is gracious and forgiving and does all this stuff regarding our sins. Isaiah 44, 22. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Wow! I had a lady in our church family this week say that sometimes when she has listened to my sermons later on, she laughs out loud when I say, wow. Wow! Wow! You know, I do that from time to time. This is wow! Isaiah 44, 22. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. The morning mist burns off real quick with the dawn. I've swept your offenses away like a cloud swept across the sky, and it's gone. And so the Lord says, return to me, for I have redeemed you. When you fail, when you sin, don't run away from me. Return to me, because I sweep away your sins. How can God do that? Look at what Jesus went through so that God can do that. You say, is that fair for God just to freely forgive? Look what Jesus went through to pay the price for that. Look what we're remembering at the communion table today. Micah says, you, O Lord, will subdue our sins and cast them into the depths of the sea. We now know that the ocean depths at the deepest spots on earth are over 7 miles. God says, I take your sin and I cast it into the depths of the sea. God hides sin beyond being found. Look at Jeremiah. It comes right after Isaiah, chapter 50, verse 20. We've already said that he covers sin. We've already said that he cleanses it. We've already said all these things that Paul and David and Isaiah have reminded us of. And here's Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 20. Forgiveness and grace is not only for the church in the New Testament, it's for Israel and Gentiles in the Old Testament, and in the future, the nation Israel, a remnant, will return to Jesus and recognize him as their Messiah. Jeremiah 50, verse 20, in those days at that time declares the Lord, search will be made for Israel's guilt, but there will be none. And for the sins of Judah, southern Israel, but none will be found, for I will forgive the remnant I spare. There is going to be a remnant of Israelites in the future who will recognize Jesus as their Messiah, just like there were some who did at his first coming and were saved by their faith. And God says, even though Israel has been so stiff-necked and so stubborn, and though Israel rejected me the first time I came, and even though they yelled, crucify him, crucify him, even as Jesus died on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And guess what? God will forgive them. There is a future remnant, a future generation in the last days. When Jesus returns, there will be Israelites who will receive him. And none of the guilt of Israel will be found in them. The application to this for me is that God not only sweeps away my sin like a cloud that's here a moment and gone, he not only casts it into the depths of the sea, but God hides my sin beyond being found. My grandkids hunted Easter eggs in my yard again this year on Easter afternoon, and I was doing lawn work last week, and I got into a remote corner and was pulling weeds, and I found 2 Easter eggs. And you know, Debbie puts chocolate candies in all the Easter eggs. The grandkids like that. Somehow since, what was it, April 16th was Easter? Yeah, almost 2 months. I popped those colorful Easter eggs open I found down in the weeds in the corner of my yard and just wasn't real tempted to eat the chocolate candy. Eventually, it may be all through the mowing season, I will find more of those Easter eggs that were not recovered by the grandkids at Easter time. But guess what? God says, when I get rid of your sin, when I forgive your sin, Jeremiah 50, 20, nobody's going to find it again. Wow. I'm like Bob Henshaw, there's things I'd like to do different if I could. There's things I'd like to say different if I could go back. Guess what? God says, I forgive your sin. I hide it. And it's not like an Easter egg. Nobody's going to find it later. It's not going to be found. It's under the blood. Wow. Matthew 1:21, he will save his people from their sins. God saves us from our sins. Psalm 79:9, he delivers us from our sins. Revelation 1:5, he frees us from our sins. If our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions have jailed us, he sets us free. Psalm 103:12, you remember this one? It's the last verse we'll look at this morning. Psalm 103:12. God removes my sin from me. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And almost all of you have heard this, and I'm glad you're remembering it right now, but in case somebody's in the room that hasn't, the Holy Spirit had David ride east to west. Because around the equator, east to west, there is no beginning and no ending of east and west. It's infinite. If God the Holy Spirit had had David write, I remove your sins from you as far as the north is from the south, there would have been a limited forgiveness, a limited removal, because you can measure the exact mileage from the North Pole to the South Pole. It's a definite distance. But God said 1,000 years before Christ through David, I remove your sin as far as the east is from the west, and there is no beginning and no ending on that equator, east and west, west and east. It is infinite. Every detail in the Bible is correct. God says, as far as the east is from the west, you can't measure it. It's immeasurable how far I remove your sin from you so that you can come to my heaven and be my child now and forevermore. We have reviewed from Scripture, not all, but we have reviewed 16 ways, 16 single separate ways that God says he deals with our sin. He forgives it. He covers it. He does not count it against us. He cleanses us. He washes it whiter than snow. He puts it behind his back. He blots it out, wipes it away, remembers it no more, sweeps it away like the clouds, casts it into the depths of the sea, hides sin beyond anybody finding it. He saves us from sin. He delivers us from sin. He frees us from sin. He removes sin from us as far as the east is from the west. And he provides remission of sin, removal, and he purges our sin and purifies us. We got a lot to celebrate at the communion table. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for being our Savior from our sin in such a spectacular way. Thank you for saving us from our sin. And Lord, we give you the glory and the praise. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Turn to number 253, please. When I survey the wondrous cross, 253. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss.
and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. Seep from His head, His hands, His feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did as such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Thank you. Please be seated.